to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 3. Book of Isaiah, chapter 3. I'd like to read verse 25 through the first verse of chapter 4. Isaiah, chapter 3. We'll read verses 25 through chapter 4, verse 1. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war. And their gates shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground. And in that day, that is the day when the men shall fall by the sword, and what's written there in verse 25 and 26. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread, wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. The book of Isaiah covers the reign of four kings. We see that in chapter 1 and verse 1. The reign of those four kings is recorded in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapters 26 through 32. So if you read the book of 2 Chronicles, chapters 26 through 32, you get a pretty good idea of the background of the book of Isaiah. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah warn of God's coming judgment upon the land because of sin. Now, our text speaks of the results of that judgment, and that is their men would fall by the sword, the gates shall lament and mourn, being desolate shall sit upon the ground. And then we read in chapter 4 and verse 1 that there would be seven, because so many men would be killed in this judgment, there would be seven women to every man. And the women would plead with this man, we will eat our own bread. In other words, we do not ask to be married in order to be maintained. Only let us be called by thy name. We have no interest in you. All we want is your name. That's the idea that is presented here in these verses. Now, I believe these seven women to one man who simply want a name are very, very descriptive and characteristic of many individuals in the Lord's churches in the last days. These seven women seeking to lay hold of one man, they're not interested in loving that man. They only want his name. They are interested in an arrangement. They want a name, but they want a name without any intimacy. They want a name without any devotion. They want an arrangement, they want a name without any submission, without any respect, without any obedience. Sound familiar? Sounds very familiar to what is going on in the so-called religious world today. You see these women approaching a man, and they'll say something like this: let's make a deal. Let's cut a deal. I want to be married to you. You do not have to provide any food for me. You do not have to take care of me. You do not have to provide any clothes for me. I will provide all my own clothes. All I want is the arrangement of marriage in name only. All I want is your name. In other words, I want to be married to you, but I want to live as I please. I want to come and go as I please. I don't want any interruption in my lifestyle. We want to be able to hang on to our other lovers. All we want is your name. Again, they have no desire to submit to the authority of a husband. They don't necessarily even want to live under the same roof in him, with him. They are not interested in his needs. They are not interested in knowing his heart. They do not care about his concerns. All they want is his name. Just give us your name. We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. They are totally consumed with themselves. And all they want is a name. Again, this is very descriptive of modern day religion today. I want to speak this evening on the subject of not in name only. And we want to consider two primary names that ought to be very, very important to us. Names that we do not want to take in name only. But I'm afraid these two names are taken by the majority who take them in name only. They are the name Christian, and they are the name Baptist. Two names that people want to take today, but they don't want anything to do with what those names represent. They want an arrangement. They want an arrangement where they can live their own life and yet be called a Christian. Or they want an arrangement where they can believe whatever they want to believe and have no responsibility and be called a Baptist. We don't want to be a Christian in name only. We do not want to be a Baptist in name only. And those are two names that I am not ashamed of in the least. The name Christian. Not ashamed of that name. I'm ashamed of a lot of people who take the name. But there's nothing wrong with the name. And I'm not ashamed of the name Baptist. Though I am ashamed of the majority of people who claim to be Baptist. So let's consider these two names. And we've preached on the subject of the name Christian many times. But many take the name Christian without any regard for what that name means. And because so many take the name without any regard for what it means, it has almost become meaningless today. But the name Christian, people want to take it without any desire whatsoever to live a life that corresponds to that name. The name Christian is used so frequently today. It is used so lightly today. that most have forgotten. Some have never known what the name means. Many think a Christian, someone who goes to church, that's what most of society thinks. They're Christian. They go to church. Being a Christian is much more than going to church. Many think a Christian is someone who talks about religion. You talk about religion at work, or you talk about religion at school, you might be labeled as a Christian. But there are a lot of people that talk about religion that are anything but Christian. So just talking about religion does not make one Christian. In fact, if you read the Gospels, you will find that Jesus Christ was at war with the religion of the day. The religionists would come up to him with all their splendor and self-righteousness, and he would say, "You're of your father, the devil." Had no use for their religion. None whatsoever. And he would go on and say, "How can you vipers escape the damnation of hell?" And do you believe that it would be any different today? If Jesus Christ were to walk the streets of the United States of America on any Sunday morning and looked at all the fine church buildings, and heard all the music and heard all the singing and listened to the sermons and observed the people, I believe again you would hear the words, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" But yet those are the individuals today that are identified as Christian. Being Christian is much more than being religious. Many think they're a Christian if someone has their name on a church roll, if they're a member of a so-called Christian church, then that makes them Christian. Many think that a profession of faith makes someone a Christian. Some think that a Christian is to be conservative politically, and you might even be identified as the Christian right. But just because someone is on the leans right politically, and I mean that more in one way, just because they lean right politically, that doesn't make them Christian. It's two entirely different things. Someone can be right down the line politically and be anything but a Christian. But the media would refer to many as the Christian right. Most of the saved believe that a Christian is anyone that is saved. But again, and this is where I would differ with many, being a Christian is more than being saved. I believe there are people that are saved that are not necessarily Christian. A Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, the primary meaning of a Christian by the dictionary is one who believes or professes to believe or is assumed to believe the religion of Christ. That's a very, very poor definition. The secondary meaning is better. It is a believer in Christ who is characterized by real piety. That's a better definition. The definition of Christianity is the system of doctrines and precepts taught by Christ, conformity to the laws and precepts of Christ. Well, that dictionary definition would eliminate most who identify themselves with Christianity. It is a conformity to the laws of Christ. Most who want to identify with Christianity could care less what the laws of Christ say. We find the real meaning of the word in the book of Acts. Chapter 11 and verse 26, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. A Christian is a disciple of Jesus Christ. And in the book of Luke, chapter 14, we'll not turn there to save time, but Jesus Christ gives the definition of a disciple. A disciple is someone who puts Jesus Christ first in their life. And that is also a Christian. A disciple is someone who denies themselves and has a willingness to be hated by the world and has a willingness to follow Christ wherever he goes and puts Christ ahead of everybody and everything and is fully surrendered to Jesus Christ. Oh, that people would live up to the name Christian. I pray tonight that we do not take that name in name only, but that we can stand and that we can say, I am a Christian. That is, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. He is first in my life. He is everything to me. And what he says is my rule of faith in practice. That is a Christian. But today, people want to take the name Christian while they are fighting against and rebelling against the very teaching of Jesus Christ. And yet they'll say, but I'm Christian. You cannot be Christian and rebel against the teaching of Christ. So all that name would mean something to us. That brings us to the second name, the name Baptist. That's a very common name. You get in your car and you drive through a neighborhood, you drive through a city, and you will see many, many church buildings. And on their sign, it will say that they are some kind of Baptist. But the majority of them are Baptist in name only. And the majority of them are like the seven women to one man. We want an arrangement where we can believe whatever we want to believe, do whatever we want to do, but we want the name Baptist. You ask most today who profess to be Baptist, ask them what the name means. And most of them couldn't tell you. Ask them about the history of Baptist. And most have no idea what you're talking about. It is a name that people take without any regard, without any consideration to what the name means. And just like those who take the name Christian, people will take the name Baptist and openly fight against everything that Baptists have ever believed. And yet declare themselves to be Baptist. Well, how can you be a Baptist if you fight against everything that Baptists have ever believed? You're only a Baptist in name. There are many who take the name Baptist, who again have no idea, have no knowledge whatsoever of Baptist history. But just because one takes the name Baptist, that doesn't make them a Baptist. I'm not challenging you to do this, but an individual could go into most churches that call themselves Baptist, and you would feel like you're in a strange land, because they're Baptist in name only. You can't go by what it says in the phone book, and you can't go by what it says on their church sign, because it's just like these seven women to one man. They want an arrangement. They want no intimacy with Christ, but they want a name. Now, today there are many who call themselves Bible Baptist, and most who call themselves that are neither. They're neither Bible or Baptist, but they've got a name. There are those who call themselves Fundamental Baptist. And again, they're neither. They do not believe in the fundamentals of Scripture. They're wrong on salvation. If you're wrong on salvation, you have denied a basic fundamental. They're wrong on baptism. That is a fundamental. How can you be a fundamental Baptist and be wrong on salvation? And be wrong on baptism? You're just in name only. There are those who call themselves Primitive Baptist. There are those who call themselves Independent Baptist, Missionary Baptist, New Testament Baptists. And though these names are common, most who take them are name only. But I believe if we go back, and that's what we want to do, and look at these names. Look at these names. They do represent who Baptists are. They do represent what Baptists are. Consider Bible Baptist. Bible Baptist. That's what we are tonight. We are Bible Baptist. That's like saying wet water. If you're Baptist, you got to be Bible. You cannot deny the Scriptures and be Baptist. The only kind of Baptist that there's ever been is Bible Baptist. But many today who take that name might even deny the inspiration of the Word of God. But when we say Bible Baptist, we mean and we hold, as true Baptists have always held, that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Baptists have always believed that the Bible is a God-breathed book. Baptists have always believed that. You can't be a Baptist and not believe that. Baptists have always believed that God is the author. God is the author of the book. Almost all Baptist churches, if not all, will claim in their statement of faith that the Bible is our only rule, is the all-sufficient rule for faith and practice. But to the majority, that's not so. When it really comes right down to it, that's just not so. Even though their statement of faith says it is. Baptists have always believed that if the Bible says something, That settles it. Baptists have always believed that. That's nothing new. And you can't be a Baptist if you don't believe that. But today, those who call themselves Baptist have pushed the Bible so far into the background and buried it beneath a heap of programs that if you sat in one of their services, you'd be hard-pressed to find much Bible. They have programs for everybody. They have ministries for everybody. So much so that the so-called ministry has become primary and the Bible again is buried beneath a heap of rubbish. In their preaching, they tell more jokes, more stories, and more illustrations than they make reference to, thus saith the Lord. And by the time they've told all their jokes, by the time they've told all their stories, by the time they've used all their illustrations, they don't have much time left for Bible. But Baptist, and I do not allow the Bible to become buried under a heap of programs and so-called ministries. Many so-called Baptist churches today, they speak more by the time they get done speaking on their political agenda. There's very little Bible being preached. Now, I have strong political feelings, and I believe my political feelings line up with my biblical convictions. But I do not believe that I am supposed to spend all my time on a political agenda. God has called us to preach the Word of God. And we are never to allow the Word of God to be buried. Most so-called Baptist churches, if the preacher were to get up on a Sunday morning and not follow any of the programs and not tell any of his jokes and stories and just get up and preach, he'd probably be looking for another church. These aren't Baptists. Baptists are people who believe the Bible. But today our so-called Baptist churches are filled with people who do not want to hear a gospel of repentance. That's the only kind of gospel there is. If you take away repentance, you no longer have a gospel. And if you destroy the gospel, Baptists have always preached the gospel. You take away the gospel, you're no longer a Baptist, no matter what you might call yourself. But today, people will join many churchgoers of today, say with the seven women to one man, "You don't have to feed us." They'll say this to the churches, "You don't have to feed us. We can provide our own bread. We have our own gospel. We're not interested in devotion. We're not interested in submission. We're not interested in obedience. We just want that name Baptist out on our church sign. We just want a name." And that's all it is. But I pray that it'll always be so. That at Home Baptist Church, that the Bible will always be primary in our services. And when it comes to Sunday school, the Bible is taught. When it comes to the morning worship hour, the Bible is preached. When it comes to Sunday evening, the Bible is preached. When it comes to Wednesday evening, the Bible is preached. That the Bible will never, ever be buried under a bunch of programs and be buried beneath a bunch of jokes and a bunch of stories and a bunch of illustrations. that God would just help us to always preach, "Thus saith the Lord," and that ungodly and wicked sinners would always feel uncomfortable sitting in our services. I don't want them ever to feel comfortable, unless the Lord saves them. And those that are living in sin, that they might squirm, and they may not ever feel that the church is accepting and accommodating their sinful ways. May we always be a Bible Baptist. It's the only kind there are. There are also what we have identified as fundamental Baptists. Now, I do not take part. I do not identify with the group today that calls themselves fundamentalist. But I am a fundamental Baptist. That is, I believe the fundamentals of this book. And most who call themselves fundamentalist Baptists, they wouldn't know a fundamental if it hit them upside the head. They don't know the first things about the Word of God. As fundamental Baptist, we preach the sovereignty of God. How can you be a fundamental Baptist and deny the very sovereignty of God? How can you be a fundamental Baptist and deny who God is? And yet today people make that, well, they don't believe the sovereignty like we do. My friend, that's a pretty big deal. What that means is they deny God. And I don't want anything to do with them. We preach the sovereignty of God. We preach as a fundamental the depravity of man. We preach as a fundamental the salvation by grace. And you do not believe salvation by grace unless you believe the sovereignty of God and the total depravity of man. These are fundamentals. We preach the deity of Jesus Christ. We preach the virgin birth. We preach the literal death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We preach the redemption by the blood of Jesus Christ. These are fundamentals. A fundamental is that the church is local and that it is the very body of Christ. For one to believe in a universal church, they have denied the fundamentals. Don't you dare call yourself a fundamental Baptist if you don't believe a local church. You've denied a fundamental of the Word of God. We believe and we preach the immersion of believers under the authority of one of the Lord's churches. These are fundamental truths that Baptists have always believed and always practiced. Yet today, many call themselves fundamental Baptists and they're ignorant of the fundamental truths of the Word of God. Again, I don't identify myself with those who call themselves fundamentalists, but I'm not ashamed to stand and tell anyone that I am a fundamental Baptist. I believe in the fundamentals of God's Word. There are those who call themselves primitive Baptists. This is a group that separated from the Baptists in the early 19th century and started a movement known as the Primitive Baptists. If you go down south, if you go into the mountains of Tennessee, the Smoky Mountains in that area, and all through the south, you'll see Primitive Baptist churches. For the most part, not always, but for the most part, this group opposes mission work and believe that the gospel is not necessary in the regeneration of sinners. Such goes against what Baptists have always believed. And though we do not identify with this group called Primitive Baptist, true Baptists have always been primitive. Always have. I'm not ashamed of that. Again, I don't identify myself with the group, but I'm not ashamed to be a primitive Baptist. That is, we believe in the old ways. We believe in the old paths. But many today who call themselves Baptist have fallen prey to the seeker movement, which is a growing movement, as we know, across the religious world to fashion churches according to the desires and the standards of the unsaved or the unchurched. We want to find out what people who don't go to church, what they want in a church. And then we're going to pattern our church after what they want in order to get them in. That's basically the seeker movement. And it's everywhere today. And the whole effort is to get the lost, the ungodly, the wicked, the vile, to come into the very house of God and not feel convicted. How sad. How sad. And keep them well entertained in hopes that they'll come again. If you've got to entertain them to get them in, you'll have to entertain them to keep them. And the thing is, if you got to entertain them to keep them, you're going to have to keep on improving your entertainment. We're primitive Baptist. We believe in the old ways. I'm not condemning new songs as long as they're scriptural. But I want to say you can't improve on the old hymns of faith. You can't improve on Amazing Grace. I mean, you just can't improve on that. Great is thy faithfulness, and on we could go. We still sing the old hymns of the faith, and we make no apology for that. We still preach the old time gospel using words like sin and repentance. We're not ashamed of it because we're primitive Baptists. We don't feel that we need new terminology for sin. We still believe that sin is sin, that right is right and wrong is wrong. We're primitive. And if you believe these things today, you're becoming a dinosaur in the religious world. It's not our purpose to entertain. It's not our purpose to make the unsaved and the backslidden feel comfortable. It's not our purpose to accommodate those who differ. Again, we've said this over and over, and we need to always keep this in our mind, that when someone comes to join Home Baptist Church, remember that they are joining us. We are not joining them. Amen. Always remember that. You do not make accommodations to keep someone in the church. Where does that stop? It doesn't. It doesn't. Well, if we don't accommodate them, they're going to leave. They might as well leave then. Because let me tell you something, they're going to leave anyway. And you might as well just get it over with. We are primitive Baptist, and we try to preach what is written in the book. We try to preach what God gives us. And if that offends some folks, so be it. But we are not ashamed of being Bible Baptists, fundamental Baptists, primitive Baptists.
And every now and then people might have to come into our services and remind us what century it is. Thank you. Thank you. That's a compliment. It means that you realize that we're different. I don't want to fit in. I don't want to be normal in today's world. Normal today is pretty sick. There are those referred to as independent Baptist. By this we mean that every local church of the Lord Jesus Christ is an independent body of Jesus Christ, an autonomous body serving Him on this earth. There is no institution. There is no institution on earth with higher authority than the Lord's church. And when a Baptist, so-called Baptist church goes against church authority, I'm sorry, they're not Baptist. They're not Baptist. Baptists have always recognized church authority. And we must always recognize church authority. Though we fellowship with sister churches of like faith, we are not formally connected with them. We are not obligated to them. We are not beholden to them. We are independent. We do not need their approval to function. We are independent Baptist. And as independent Baptists, we have everything we need to do the work that God has called us to do. We have all the authority that we need. Again, we've said it many times. I don't care if it's a church of 100 people or a church of 7. One church has just as much authority as the other. The church of 100 does not have authority over the church of 7. That church of 7 has just as much God-given authority as a church of 100. That is what an independent Baptist is, and we're not ashamed to be independent Baptist. There are those called missionary Baptist. And Baptists have always been missionary in their practice. They were commissioned by Jesus Christ to preach the gospel to all the world. And as missionary Baptists, we believe that man's greatest need, that the greatest need of an unsaved sinner is salvation. When an unsaved sinner walks in the Home Baptist Church, whatever their life is like, it's not my responsibility, it's not your responsibility to make them feel good about themselves. It is our responsibility to tell them what they need and how that Jesus Christ can provide what they need. That is our responsibility. We are missionary Baptists, and we should have a burden to see lost sinners saved. And we should have a burden to pray for lost sinners. And we should have a desire to preach the gospel to lost sinners, because we know that is what God has always used in saving His people. It's what God will always use. Anytime it becomes your aim, anytime it becomes your goal to see people saved, you are going to err seriously doctrinally. That's not our goal. Our goal is not to see how many are saved. Our goal is to glorify God. You preach and you leave the saving to the Lord. You leave that to the Lord. And He will save. So we're not ashamed to be Bible Baptists. We're not ashamed to be fundamental Baptists. We're not ashamed to be primitive. We're not ashamed to be independent. We're not ashamed to be missionary. There are New Testament Baptists. And we are New Testament Baptists. When we say that, we do not imply that the Old Testament is of no use, or that the Old Testament is not the Word of God. We are simply stating that we believe that Jesus Christ organized his church during his earthly ministry, calling out people who had been saved and baptized under the ministry of John the Baptist, and that that church has had a perpetual existence ever since its origin. That is a New Testament Baptist. And I believe there are many today walking around preaching the self-constitution theory. That is, a church doesn't need church authority to be a church. They're not Baptist. They're not Baptist. Baptists have always believed one church begets another. Baptists have always practiced that. They may use different terminology throughout history, but it's there all the way through. So in conclusion, just like in our text, in these last days, modern day religion does not want intimacy and devotion to Christ. They're not interested in submission. They're not interested in living with Christ. They're not interested in the things of Christ. They just want his name. I'm a Christian. And yet they have no Christian characteristics about them whatsoever. Then there are those who are not interested in what has always belonged to Baptist. They only want the name. Again, I would much rather see the only ones carrying the name Baptist be Baptist. I think that'd be fantastic. You wouldn't see that name too many places. If the only ones who could put on their church sign Baptist were real Baptists, that name wouldn't be so common today. It'd be pretty rare. But today, you think about most church names, and that's all it is. No matter what denomination, that's all it is. But I hope and pray that you and I would never be content with just having a name, with just having the name Christian. Some people can come up to you and tell you that they're a Christian, it'd shock you. And you'd almost have to look at them and say, well, I'm pretty surprised. I've never seen that in you before. You haven't given any evidence that you're Christian. God help us tonight not to ever want to be something in name only. And God help us never, ever to be ashamed of the name Christian. Don't be ashamed to take that name if you are a Christian. And don't ever be ashamed of the name Baptist. And all you Baptists are saying, oh, I said, oh, let me tell you something. First of all, you don't know what Baptist is. I don't want to be put in the whole group of Baptists. So let me tell you what a Baptist is. Young man I worked with in Paducah. He drove by Zora Church, saw the little church building. He come to work the next day and he said, brother, when are you ever going to go to a real Baptist church? And I said, you and I are going to sit down and talk today at lunch. And I'm going to tell you what a real Baptist is, because you have no idea what a real Baptist is. And it's sad today, but most who call themselves Baptist have no idea. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of that name. Don't be ashamed of the name Christian. I'm a Christian and I'm a Baptist. And I made no apologies for either. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us. Verse